Okay, well then, welcome to the podcast, Reg Martin. It's nice to talk to you in person. I already mentioned we've been in touch via email a few months ago about an application about Glossary Assistant, and we'll talk about Glossary Assistant as well. But first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background?
I'm an old IT guy, worked in IT all my life as a programmer, analyst, developer, designer, implementer, testing, babysitting, whatever, on pretty complex systems. Industrial applications, I could say, for big businesses in the pharmaceutical industry and other industries. And then I retired from that, or my eventually outsourced all my knowledge to other countries and retired. And that's where I am now. And my wife is a conference interpreter. That sort of got me interested in. My kids gave me a nice Android Nexus tablet for Christmas a couple of years back. And I thought, could be kind of interesting to write something on this. More of a challenge and a bit of fun to write something on the tabloid. So it wasn't something new to learn.
Was it difficult to get into programming for Android? Is it very tricky or?
There's a learning curve for sure. If you've programmed, I'd done a lot of programming in C# and Windows applications when I was in industry. But the main problem with any of these languages, whether it's Java or C# or Android, is always the user interface. Windows is quite easy to develop user interfaces. The software development kits are very good for designing a screen and getting it working. Android is not so obvious. Even though I have a similar application running on a PC, which is pure Java, it's all a kind of Java. Once again, the interface between the Android app, which is on the phone and the tablet, is quite different in program than the interface on the PC version.
So you talked about computer languages there. Do you have any background in human languages? Are you interested in foreign languages or anything like that?
Well, you see, there's where I'm really poor at. I'm lousy at foreign languages, but my wife looks after five of them. So whenever I have a problem, she's there to help out.
Okay.
No, I get along in French and German. English is my mother tongue, of course. I came from Canada. The English part of Canada. So French and German, I get along okay, but I'm far from being fluent. But it interests me. Things that interest me on the languages are more things like the locale, the sorting techniques you require to sort. If you have five columns, one in Russian, one in Arabic, one in Chinese, one in English, they all require different character sets that you have to look after in your program to handle the sorting of them. That interests me quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that is an interesting field as well. That's true. So you just mentioned that your wife is a conference interpreter, and what languages does she work with?
Her mother A language is Italian, but she comes from German, French, Spanish, and English into Italian. She's accredited at the EU, and she's also a teacher of languages, or of interpreting, I mean, and well established lady in interpreting.
Right. And was it her idea that you programmed the application, or when you got that tablet as a gift or as a present, did she say, well, why don't you write me a terminology app?
She didn't say that as much as I said, well, gee, why don't I write you something that you could stop having to carry Word documents around and sheets of paper that if it's sorted in English and you got to go reprint it if you want it sorted in Italian, whereas on a tablet, we can just push a button and it'll be sorted into your language again. Plus, it's very portable.
Yeah. So she was sort of already halfway on the electronic glossary bandwagon, let's say, and you were just trying to help her to go the last mile to take it all into electronic format.
That's right. Yeah, and she had other friends that were doing the same thing. They would basically keep their documents in maybe some kind of Excel sheet or in Word documents. But once they're printed out, they're very good to look through quickly if they're sorted in the sequence you want, but not so practical if you're out on the road or somewhere where you can't do that. Whereas a tablet or your telephone, you can, if you've got the documents or the terminology on your telephone or on your tablet, then you can basically do what you want with it.
Yeah, that's a big advantage, exactly. Did you look at any other terminology applications when you got started, or did you have an idea that you were following? How did that work?
I had a concept in my mind of how I would like to see it work, and I did look at a few. We're back a couple of years ago now, and there was not much, basically nothing on the market for Android, and most interpreters even to this day are very heavily into Apple. They like the Interplex program. That's well used. I'd looked at that, and I thought, I can probably improve on that. And that gave me a couple of ideas and things that I really didn't like that much that I thought maybe I could make better.
Interesting. Yeah. So you did indeed look at the competition. But I think yours is still the only application or the only dedicated terminology application that exists on Android.
I've seen some others. Anja Rutan, you know her?
Oh, yeah.
Anja, she does a blog. I've seen her announce some other ones coming up now, but they're much more heavy. They do a lot more things than I really wanted to do. I was looking for something that was there is a small learning curve with my application, but I was looking for something that was very fast and easy to use just with touching. Because I know from speaking with my wife and other interpreters that in the booth when you're interpreting, you don't have time even basically to look down and key in things. I think your colleague in the booth will help you out there. But even then, it has to be something that can be fast, sorting with a touch, searching with the minimum amount of keying in of information and a search in the language you wanted. Android sorting, it's incredible how fast these things sort. I couldn't believe it myself. If you have a glossary with 3,000 lines in it, it sorts like that. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe we can take a closer look at the application. But first of all, I noticed that there are actually two separate applications on the Play Store. So there is Glossary Assistant, which I think is the main application. And then there is the Phone Mate. Can you just describe what the difference between the two is?
Basically, the glossary, the first one I wrote was I had a very nice Nexus 10, which has an extremely high resolution screen. And you can get a lot of information on the screen. It easily shows five columns of data. You can even show more if you want. On a telephone, to try and run that on a telephone, the user interface was not acceptable to me for telephone use. And I got a hold of some phones and tried and took a look as to what I would like to do. And basically I restrict the display on the screens on telephones to two, possibly more. The program, when it starts, will check the resolution and size of the screen and make a determination of how many columns it thinks it can display comfortably. Typically, it's two. A good Hi-Res and a good HTC phone might do three columns, or maybe even four if they are getting into the phablet range of telephones. So, you know, some of the telephones are getting pretty large now.
But then the font could be quite small, so maybe it's a good idea not to have too many columns.
Exactly. It has to be readable. I could get five columns on a font, but it's going to be in fly spec font, so it's of no use. Scaling presented some problem to come up with something that was acceptable for phone use. And my wife has tried that out in a factory environment where you're walking around in interpreting for people being shown around a factory, and then it's quite handy to have it on your phone, which is light to carry and to be able to search words and look up easily. So the main difference, the database behind actually is 100% compatible. It's the same database on a phone, a tablet, or a PC. So if you had a cloud, you could move your database between all of those.
Right. Sounds good. So that's more of a mobile, more of a read-only maybe variety, the Phone Mate?
That was the idea. So that makes the overall interface slightly different as to how you select the glossary and how you select your languages. On the tablet, you can kind of do that on your main screen, whereas on a phone, I ask you to make a pre-selection, and then from then on, they stay in effect through the various other screens in the tablet or on the phone, which switch through.
Hi, Alex here. Reg and I will now talk about how to use Glossary Assistant hands-on. So why don't you pause the podcast for a moment, grab your tablet and download the app. It's free, and then you can play along with us. Don't worry, we'll wait. I would suggest maybe, because I have my Nexus 7 tablet here with the Glossary Assistant open, maybe we can just sort of go through the interface so people have a sort of an easy start when they download it and maybe want to make their first glossary. So I don't know, maybe just to describe what's on the left. There are a few, there's sort of a menu, a navigation menu. We have a few entries there, Assistant in Action, Glossary Management, and so on. Can you just quickly run us through what these are for?
No, if you want, you can start up a new glossary on that if you want, and you can add new items to an existing one or completely start up a brand new glossary and add items to it. Not something I really recommend all that much, but if people want to do it, it's there. The option is there. Okay. I put the assistant in action at the top because that's the one you will basically use in the booth or whenever you've done some, whenever you have your glossaries already on the tablet. If we go under that glossary management underneath, that brings up a screen which allows you, if you think of.
So basically the idea is let's say I have a glossary in Excel. I would export it or save it out to a text file. Is that the CSV format or the text format, or what do you recommend people use?
Importing and exporting existing glossaries you might have, say, in Excel or Word, with a bit of massaging into the proper format. And on the website, I put a couple of macros that you, well, Excel's very easy. You just need to save it as a Unicode text file and come in. So on that screen, you'll see an area called Transit Area, and on above that, you'll see Glossaries Available. And the Transit Area is basically the download folder on your Android device. And if you download a glossary from your PC, if you copy it over by USB or Bluetooth or from a cloud, it will end up in the Transit directory. From there, you can just import it, add it, put it into your glossaries that you're going to work about with, which are the ones above, Glossaries Available. And that's a scrolling screen, so you can have many.
Okay, so a TXT file, basically.
Yeah, the last three letters will be .txt, but it must be Unicode. And That's an option in Excel for saving a file. That will be explained on my website, the swiss32.com website. There is a bit of explanation about how to create your X file. There's only a couple of simple rules you have to have. You have to have a title line and you have to have the languages set up correctly and save it as a Unicode. Then okay, go ahead. Because you were going to explain to me, so I'll let you continue.
No, I'm just trying to make it as visual as possible in an audio medium, just as a podcast. So basically, what you said is, I'll do the export and then I'll transfer it over to my Android device through USB or Dropbox or whatever, and then those text files would show up in the transit, and then I sort of have to import them into the application. Is that right?
Yeah, once you do that on that screen, you'll see in transit. If you click on an in transit file, it will pop up to the top showing it. And then you say, you can then actually take a look at it if you want, see what's in there. So you could view it if you want. And then you can also just say, load it. And when you hit the load reload button, if it already exists in your main database, it'll overwrite. It'll ask you if you want to overwrite it or not. Otherwise, it will add it to your main database, and then it will become usable by by the glossary, the assistant in action, or by the editor, or there are the three other screens that would make use of a loaded glossary or the database. You think of it this way. You have a database which is what you're working with. That is the same on the PC, the Android, or the telephone. The transit files are just ways of getting individual glossaries into the database. If you want, you can transfer the whole database back and forth. And you'll see that if you look down at the next item on the menu, you'll see initialize database. That's something you have to do at the very beginning to say what are the languages you would like to use. On mine, I've put in, you can put in up to 10 languages. Each glossary you load does not have to have, it can have one language, it can have two languages, it can have five. They can be in any order that you want. So if you had various Excel sheets and one has English, French, German, and the next one had German, Italian, French. As long as they're defined in this screen, they will be loadable into your main database.
Excellent. So I can have up to 10 languages. That should be enough for most interpreters, I think.
Yeah, there's a couple of people on the market that work in a bit more, but think of it this way. They're probably not working in all 10 in conferences all the time, and they could always make something up. It's the next one under there called utilities, and that's where you can restore a complete database or export a complete database, say to the cloud, to or from the cloud. Once again, it will always go through the transit, the download file, but it will be a DB file, not a TXT file. But you would see it if you did a file management. If you run your file management program on your Android, you would see that file also in the download directory. And then it's up to you to do what you want with it. That screen also has a bit of information about your actual device that you're working on, which if you were to have a problem, I would ask you to bring up that screen. I could say, what version do you have? What's your locale? I could see, maybe you've run out of disk space. I would see the resolution of your screen, which gives me a clue. If you say, something's truncated, I look here, I'd say, yes, maybe I need to do some work because your screen resolution is giving me a problem.
Okay, yeah. And is the glossary editor, is that what I use for creating a new glossary from scratch?
Initialize new glossary. This is the one that permits you to start something up from scratch on the device. So once again, you'll have to just give it a name and a description and tick off the languages that you want in that particular glossary. You may only want two, you may want five. It's up to you. But you would have had to have defined the languages earlier so that they show. If you have that screen in front of you, you have checkboxes down the left side with, I have English, Italian, French, Russian, German, Chinese, Spanish, Arabic. I would check them off. They would then be available. And all you do is save. That does very little. That just initializes an entry in the database. And at that point, you can then go to Glossary Editor and call it up, because now it would show as a glossary available. And you would call it up, and I'll just bring up one here. You say you'd...
Yeah, I'm just playing along here. Yeah? So I had the languages and just made a test glossary, and it said it's initialized properly. And then I can also see it in the glossary management. So that's actually quite straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, and you say view, and you'll see a lot. You think if it's a brand new one, you see one line has new in it. Something like that. And from that point on, takes a little practice to use the editor. It's not a super sophisticated editor, but it will work. As I say, I recommend people do this on a PC, but pushing on touching a square will bring up that row. And then you can then make changes and either cancel or say okay. A long touch on a row will give you the chance to actually delete that row. Touching a column heading will sort this is standard throughout the application. A long touch on a column heading will sort the glossary on that column. And that's standard throughout the application, wherever you have multiple columns showing. Add new, what that will do is just tack five blank lines onto the end of the glossary, to which you then go and touch on, make a touch and add your data. Then you would save it. Until you save it, none of this is back in the database, so you must not forget to save. Yeah. So when you touch on a cell, up will pop the cells to do your work in. Then you say okay, which basically that puts it back onto the screen, but it's still not in the database until you say save.
So that's important. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of learning curve to use that screen, but it will work.
And then also as an added benefit, you have a web search button on the top right in the top right corner of the screen. So that will just launch the browser with an instance of Google where you can then do some terminology search or anything.
Yeah, I think I have it defaulting to...
Is it? Oh, no, it's Lingui, right. I didn't see that. Does it go to Lingui?
Yes, okay. It just goes there. It doesn't do anything special. It just goes there and lets you do what you want.
Yeah, which is a very popular terminology website among interpreters and translators. So I think that's a good choice to put that in a quick way of accessing it. Yeah. So maybe one question to finish things off. How do I, if I want to use both applications, the Glossary Assistant on my tablet, let's say, and the Phone Mate on my smartphone, how would the two stay in sync?
Only by your intervention.
Okay, so I export or I just do the same procedure that you described earlier.
Yes, the way I would do it, I would always export the database I have to keep track of what I've done on the database. If I've added a new glossary on my telephone, I would want to export the entire database out to the transit area and then, or to the cloud, or well, to the download folder. Then I'd put it on the cloud, take it from the cloud onto my tablet, or I would Bluetooth it over to my tablet, whatever. But it's basically up to the user to look after synchronization.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound too complicated.
No, and the fact that I let you use the same database between all devices means you really don't have to do anything. It's just basically copies. You're copying from one to another.
Interesting. So, is there anything else we should know about the application or how to use it?
No, I think the website I created for it is fairly well documented with a pretty decent user manual for the tablet version. The phone version there's some modifications there that like indications of the slight changes between the two operations. And then the PC version is one. PC version, of course, is mouse driven rather than touch driven, but very similar actions. A slightly different interface. But overall, you still have sorting by columns, multiple columns. You select your languages, just presented as close as possible, but slightly different.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. Now that you mention it, I forgot to mention it myself. There is a PC version available of Glossary Assistant.
Yes, yes. Like if you have a tablet, my wife has a Toshiba tablet and it runs very nicely on something like that, which is not a tablet, a laptop, notebook, which is slightly bigger than a tablet, but still quite useful. And the PC version is easier to maintain a glossary on.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you get a bigger screen, you get a nicer keyboard. Well, that's something that's extremely nice about Android are the keyboards. I think Apple has the same feature, but if I have a column in German let's say Russian or Greek, Android, it's very easy to say I have those keyboards available. I just have to touch a button and I switch to that keyboard. So if I'm filling in the Greek column, I get a Greek keyboard. If I'm filling in a Russian column, I can just a touch of a button, I get the Russian keyboard to do my typing on. On a PC, that's a little harder, actually.
Yeah, it is.
But on Android, it's fantastic on Android. And I think probably Apple has a similar.
Yeah, you can absolutely switch back and forth between languages and different keyboard layouts and things like that. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Excellent. So that's been very interesting. Thank you, Reg. I think it's a good way of getting people started with the application. And I think if you're an Android user or a PC user, I would definitely recommend you give Glossary Assistant a try. And I suppose if people still have questions, they can contact you through the website.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. But I will definitely make sure to put the link to the website in the blog post for this podcast, because it is indeed very comprehensive and you can find lots of information about the app and how to use it. So thank you very much, Reg, for this introduction to Glossary Assistant.
Okay, nice talking to you.